Good morning and welcome to Little Swatara. We're so glad you're here this morning for our worship services. We just want to highlight today is the youth membership classes beginning in my office. It does say the parsonage, but we're going to stay here with the weather outside instead of walking up to the parsonage and have membership classes this week from 12 to 2. So we'll be in the office from 12 to 2. There will be lunch provided. So any youth that have already signed up or any youth that are interested, please come out today after the second service near noontime, and we'll begin our membership classes. Continuing through next week, 12 to 4, we'll finish that up next week. And baptisms, if you want to mark your calendars ahead of time, are June 5th. We'll have indoor baptisms at the second service, and we'll also have baptisms out of doors at the Siler Pond at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So you can mark your calendars for that very special event in the life of the church. We want to highlight on the 21st at 7 a.m., there's going to be men's breakfast at Blue Star Restaurant. And then that evening at 6 p.m., the Young Families are sponsoring a church-wide movie, The Finding Nemo, to tie in with VBS. And many of you have asked, how can we get to know the new families in the church? Come on out to the movie night. We'll entertain the kids with the movie, and we can socialize and get to know one another. Again, that's Saturday, this coming Saturday, May 21st at 6 p.m. So we'd love to see everyone come out and share in a time of fellowship. We also have an announcement this morning from Jeremy, and then another announcement followed by John.
There's Dan here so they can see. Okay, we have an announcement from the Mission and Evangelism team. You see these two boys here with their backpacks on. We're going to be collecting backpack items for the annual conference this year. They're looking for toothbrushes, toothpaste, backpack, shampoo, washcloths, and the list goes on. You see it there in the corner of your bulletin on the first page. A second announcement from the Missions Evangelism is that tomorrow we're going to put potatoes in the ground. We're going to start around 4 p.m., so come right out back here and help us put some potatoes in the ground. It was suggested because of all the rain that we plant rice this year, but we decided instead to stick with the potatoes. All right, let's show them the backpacks. Here, get your coat. Thank you. Now you'll never forget.
I apologize, mine won't be nearly as much fun as Jeremy's was. Not necessary, thank you. I'm bringing to your attention the call slate that was handed out this morning. There will be call slates available in the narthex if you happen to lose yours. We are planning to, there will be a box in the back in the narthex, the room back there, to receive the call slates after you complete them. Anyone who is a member or a regular attender is welcome to, well, encouraged to fill out the call slate. Please spend time in prayer and reflection to consider people who you believe would serve well in the positions on this call slate. If you notice, there are some persons' names listed on here with an asterisk next to their name, and that means that they have served two consecutive terms and need to take a year off in between. It's kind of like a sabbatical. And believe me, when you've served two consecutive terms, you probably want time off. So if you see an asterisk, those people would not be eligible to be called for that team, but you could call them for another team. So feel free to fill out the call slate as you are able, and return it by, I think it's June, the first Sunday in June is when we're looking to have them back. You can bring them earlier if you wish. There will be a box in the narthex. The other thing to mention is that the moderator, current moderator and assistant moderator are not eligible to serve on any of those teams, ministry teams. And that's about all I have to share. But please, please fill out a call slate and return it. Your input is very important. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy and John. One final announcement. The pictorial directory is happening this week. We're in need of volunteers to welcome and sign in pictorial directory participants. You'll notice in the bulletin the times, Tuesday 12 to 8, Wednesday to Friday 1:30 to 8, and Saturday 8:30 to 2. There is no technology involved to do this. I repeat, there is no technology involved to do this. So that includes everyone capable of being able to sign in and welcome someone for their picture appointment. Denise is now working at Stone Ridge, so she's unable to fill all those time slots. So please, please, please call or email Denise and let her know if you can help her out with the much needed time slot filling. Any other announcements before we listen to the senior choir bring us into worship this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to gather. We pray, Father, your spirit would ascend upon us, that we would be able to know your presence in a very real and powerful way. Father, we pray that you would take our hearts from the place that we've been this week, whether struggling or whether rejoicing, and align it with what your will and your passion for our lives is. And we thank you, God, that we can gather in safety. We know many across the world are gathering with persecution in these meeting times. And we pray, Lord, your guidance and your direction in this service. And we thank you for the senior choir and bless their voices as they sing in a few moments. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Builders labor in vain.
invite you to rise to join in number 714, a responsive reading as we prepare for our joys and concerns this morning. Number 714, and you could please rise as we read this responsively together. Number 714. And this is, of course, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, the coming of the Holy Spirit, but let us reflect on the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He came down from heaven.
He was born in a stable.
Kings came to his cradle.
His first home was a cave.
He was born to be a king.
He was a child of Mary.
He was the greatest among rulers.
He was the least among servants.
He was loved and honored.
He was despised and rejected.
He was gentle and loving.
He made many enemies.
He counseled perfection.
He was a friend of sinners.
He was a joyful companion. He said, rejoice.
He said, repent.
Love God with all your heart.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Don't be anxious.
Count the cost.
Deny yourself.
Ask and receive.
In him was life.
He died on the cross.
He was a historic person.
He lives today.
He was Jesus of Nazareth.
He is Christ the
Lord. Amen and amen. You may be seated, and we invite you to share in any joys and concerns that you may have this morning. We just want to highlight our sympathies go out to the Lloyd Moyer family. His viewing will be on Friday from 10 to 12, 9 to, yeah, I don't have my bulletin, so someone help me out here. What is it? 5 to 7 on Friday evening and 10 to 11 on Saturday, and services 11 to 12 or give or take a little time frame. So our sympathies do go out to the Lloyd Moyer family, and we want to highlight Harold Myers will be having surgery on Monday as well. So we want to keep Harold Myers in our prayers. Are there other joys or concerns you'd like to share this morning?
My nephew Brian Ziegler died last week. His parents are Lulabelle and Owen Ziegler. And we ask for your prayers for the family.
I'm sharing a joy. Our daughter isn't here right now. She was here at the early service, but she graduated yesterday, I think among 35 other doctors of physical therapy from Lebanon Valley College, and it was a great joy. Many 6 years of college, 3 years of working really hard in the physical therapy program, and she put forth a lot of effort, and she was tied with one other girl. There were two that had the highest GPA in her class, and an awesome accomplishment, and the parents are proud.
It's good to see some of our college students back today. Hello, Savannah, welcome.
Just a joy. Pete had his surgery on Monday, went well. And on Thursday, he went back to Spancrest, and he'll probably only be there a couple weeks, and then maybe he'll finally be home.
Praise you, the Lord. All right.
And I request prayer for our neighbor. Her name is Helen. She lost her husband in January, and she's having a hard time coping. So, okay. Helen.
Helen.
I'd like prayer for my aunt. Her name's Bonnie Johnson. She had a stroke sometime last week. They're not sure when. She's been in the hospital since Wednesday, and now she has some infections, and she's also a diabetic and is having problems with mobility and her memory. So keep her and her family in prayer.
Thank you.
And then I'd like prayer for my uncle. His name is Hank Clark. Never been diagnosed with heart disease before, but had a heart attack on Friday night. So trying to do some studies and figure out what's going on with him.
And that was Hank Clark. Okay, thank you.
I have some happy things. I didn't get to talk to Savannah yet, but welcome home, Savannah. It's really good to have her back. The other thing is that 20 plus years ago, this church founded in their hearts to take on a poor mother and three children and see that they got the proper documentation to come here to this country. That has grown and grown and grown, and I want you to know that yesterday, seven members of that family came, brought me dinner, and brought me flowers for a Mother's Day. This church certainly planted a seed in those children. We talked about scattering the seeds at the parable in our class this morning, and this church really planted seeds in that family.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. That's wonderful.
I like prayers for a little boy in the fifth grade who has brain cancer. He hasn't been in school the last 3 weeks. He's been struggling with this cancer since he's two. At this point, he's not doing very well, so I think it would be nice to have prayers for him. It's William Diefenbach. And also my niece, Mandy, has just started dialysis this week for her diabetes, has kind of like caused problems with her kidneys and things. So prayers for her also.
A concern that we have there for the tractor and truck show, I have some posters back there in the narthex on the table. Everybody's welcome to take one if you have a place that you would like to hang it up to spread the advertisement for more people. And I'll say thank you in advance.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you in prayer. We know, Father, there are families that are mourning the loss of loved ones, and we especially lift up Naomi and Cindy this morning and the family of the passing of Lloyd, but we know he's no longer suffering and he's in your presence now. We think of those that are dealing with other illnesses and are anticipating healing or looking for direction as far as what a cure may be, and those dealing with cancer and other situations such as heart attacks, Father, and we just pray, God, that your healing touch, if it be your will, would be upon them. We think of a loved one named Helen that's coping with the loss of a husband from a year ago, and Father, we pray your comfort upon her, and we rejoice, Lord, with the news Pete is back to Spancrest and in a few weeks may be able to finally go home. And we just rejoice with Pete and Carol over that wonderful news. We thank you for Sarah and just the wisdom and the understanding you've given her over the years to be able to achieve this doctorate degree. And we just are celebrating alongside her and look forward to your plans for her life. And we just pray for the family as well as they celebrate and rejoice together. We think, Father, of the seeds that have been planted for families to be able to come here and how they've grown and the opportunity to be able to continue to do that. Lord, we pray our hearts would be open and we would be mindful of being able to make those opportunities persist throughout our time here on this earth. And Father, we do anticipate with great rejoicing that day that you will finally come back and you'll take your bride home with you, the church. And we just thank you for that knowledge that this day will one day come. And we celebrate today the coming of the Holy Spirit. We know how the Spirit has worked in our own lives, the power that it's given us to say things otherwise we wouldn't have been able to say and to be able to perform miracles, Lord, in your name. We just thank you, Father, for the power of the Spirit given to those disciples that we commemorate on this Pentecost Sunday. Father, we now just come to you with our hearts open to share with you those things on our heart and just asking for forgiveness, Lord, for those things that we've committed as sin this week. And we thank you for the cross that offers us that forgiveness. Hear our prayers. Father, this morning we also pray for the family of Brian Ziegler and ask your comfort and your peace to be upon each of them as they deal with this loss. And we thank you, God, that in the midst of our loss, we can come to you for that affirmation we need to be able to feel comfort. And we know, Father, we're never alone in this world, and we just turn to you. And in that moment where we're feeling isolated, we feel like no one's there, Father, we know that you are very near. And we just thank you, God, for your presence among us as families and as individuals. We just celebrate life today and realize that it's fragile, and we look to the world and we see people broken, we see people hurting, people in need of hope. And we pray, Father, as the Spirit leads, we would give testimony, we would show through our lives the reflection of how you've moved and stirred in our hearts to be able to share your love with others. So Father, help us to have the courage and the boldness to share you with our friends and our family and with those we come in a contact with each day. So, Father, we pray this service you would be glorified, and we just thank you for loving us and for offering us forgiveness. And it's in Jesus' most precious name that we pray. Amen.
Would you please rise for hymn number 30?
As we prepare for our offering this morning, I offer these words from number 680 in your hymnal. God of all life, we thank you for the signs of your love that surround us, for sun and warmth and all that comes to life within creation, for all that sleeps within the earth awaiting birth. We praise you for the wisdom of your care, water on the earth, sunlight on our spirits, hands on blinded eyes. Continue to touch us, reach out to us with compassion and forgiveness, that we may receive your gifts, that we may know your love and grace and rise to new life in Jesus Christ. Amen. May we give with cheerful hearts this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give as an act of worship. We know each and every day the way you meet our needs, and we thank you, Father, for doing so. We pray now in this time that you would receive our offering and you would use it for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
many of you guys like to fly kites? It's so fun to see the kites flying way up high. What is it that keeps the kite from falling to the ground? The wind, that's right. Have any of you ever seen the wind? Mm-hmm. Yes, how? That's a trick question. You can't see the wind, it's invisible.
I can see the wind blowing the trees.
You can, that's right. You can see the wind blowing trees. We can also hear it. How many of you hear the wind when it's blowing against the windows?
Me.
Or blowing against your door,
Me.
Blowing the trees around?
Me.
We can hear it whistling, and we can see it. Well, we can see it blowing the wind, blowing the trees, right?
Yeah.
We can't actually see it. What's another way we can see the wind? Any ideas?
Go ahead.
No? How about if we see it moving the objects like this? Can you see that?
Yeah.
Yes. We can see it blowing the trees, like the leaves. Have you seen the leaves blowing around with the trees? Yes. There's still another way we can see it. Well, we can't exactly see it. How about feel it? Can we feel the wind?
Yeah.
When it's, how about you blow against the back of your hand, like this? Do you feel the wind? Do you feel it against your hair when it, when the wind's blowing?
Yeah.
Your hair goes flying back. Yeah? Do you feel it?
Forwards.
And it goes forwards, yeah.
And it never stops.
And it doesn't stop, that's right.
At my house, it's so hard that it pulls on my hair.
Sometimes the wind's so hard that it pulls against your hair.
Yeah.
Today is a special day. Today's called Pentecost Sunday. How many of you know what Pentecost means? It was on the day of Pentecost that God sent the Holy Spirit to the church. The Bible tells us the apostles were all gathered together when they suddenly heard a sound that sounded like a mighty rushing wind. Just like the wind blows our hair and blows the trees, it was a mighty wind like that, okay? Except harder. Can you imagine that? Then it says, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is like the wind. We can't see it, but we know it's there. You guys get what I'm saying?
Yeah?
Yeah? We know it's there, but we can't see it. Okay? You guys remember that. We can know that the Holy Spirit is there because we can hear him. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." We can't see the Holy Spirit, but we know it's there because it speaks in our hearts. Another way we know the Holy Spirit is there because we can see him moving through people. Do you know how we can see him moving through the people? Pastor Matt, how about when he's preaching, the Holy Spirit is moving through him. Do you ever notice that? No? Oh my. The Bible says that the Spirit of God moves through his people to speak and do things through him. We can't see God, but we know he's there. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? We can know the Holy Spirit's there because we feel his presence. Have you ever felt God's presence? Have you ever seen God's masterwork? Yes? The Bible says, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." The Bible also says, "If we love one another, God lives in us." We can't see the Holy Spirit, but we know it. He is there because we can feel his presence. You guys keep watching for God, okay? Can you do that? Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. Even though we can't see him, we are thankful that we can hear him speak in our hearts, feel his presence in our daily lives, and see him move through us in our daily days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
hearts are lacking, my Lord in his mercy sustains. When all those unjust could forsake me, my God in compassion remains. Whom shall I fear when God's just with me? Whom shall I fear? He shields me with love. His presence surrounds me completely. I shall not be
from those Jews were constantly in fear. But Jesus, over those 40 days since he rose from the dead, when we realized that the tomb was empty, he kept reappearing to us. And he kept telling us more nuggets of information. And I can remember this one particular time that he met with us and he told us that we should wait in Jerusalem, that we should stay there, and he'll send the Holy Spirit as he promised. And we had heard this teaching before, but we weren't quite calculating in our minds what exactly this meant. They'll send the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to wait for it. There'll be power upon us. He's going to baptize us with the Spirit, not like John, who baptized us with water. And so that final time, as we were gathered together with Jesus, we asked him the question, are you now going to restore Israel? Because all along we thought Jesus was coming to be the conquering king. He was going to establish his ministry here on earth. But as we were asking this question, he said to us, this time, this hour is not for you to know. Only the Father shall know these things. But we were to wait. We were to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there, in the presence of Jesus, as we were standing there, we watched as he was taken up into the sky. And as he was taken into the sky, we could see him for a period of time, but then he was hid by a cloud. And we all stood there intently looking into the sky. And we no longer saw Jesus. And as we stood looking intently, suddenly beside us, two people were standing in white, and I mean brilliant white, and they said to us, "Who are you looking for?" And of course, we were looking for Jesus, and they told us that in the way that he went, he will return. Now, I'll admit, as a disciple, I didn't quite fathom all that Jesus has taught us. I'll admit I was a bit confused, but we went, we met together, we prayed, and we knew that one of those disciples among us did something that we still can't figure out why, but we know that Judas needed to be replaced. And so as we met together and as we prayed together, we remember that justice that was served to Judas. And we remember that he had bought this field, and we remember the news was all over town of what happened to Judas as his body went forth in death and his intestines spilled out. And they even call that the field of blood to this day. So we gathered and we met and we prayed together. We knew that we had to choose another person. And so there was two individuals, Barsabbas and Matthias, and we prayed and we continued to meet together, and finally we cast lots, and we knew as we prayed God would find favor with the one chosen for this 12th position as a disciple, as an apostle. And the lot fell to Matthias. And so we remembered that command that Jesus had given us to continue to wait for this Holy Spirit that was to be coming. And so we were all gathered together in one place. And we remember this sound of a mighty wind. It was roaring ever so loud, and suddenly it filled the room in which we were in. And we did everything we could to hold on as this forceful wind came through our room. But then something even more extraordinary happened. There were these tongues of fire that came down from above. They must have come from heaven, and they landed on each of us. And it was in that instant, in that very moment, as the tongues of fire came upon us, that we realized we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know how we knew that was because we started to speak in a language that wasn't familiar to us. It was a language that was known to those fellow Jews that were gathered nearby, and they could hear us, and they quickly came, and they were like, "What's going on? Why can we understand our language? These disciples are from Galilee. How do they speak my language?" And so that day, we knew that the Spirit had come, and the Spirit came in power. And you'll learn as the weeks unfold many more things which we disciples did with that power. And we pray for you, the people of this modern day, that you too would be able to be filled with the Spirit and know how to move in the power. And it's in Jesus' name that we received it. Blessings to you. There's nothing worth more that ever could come close. Nothing can compare to the living hope of the Lord's presence. I pray week in and week out, the Spirit is welcome here in this place. That we become more and more aware of His presence and experience the glory of His goodness. Historically, today marks the day in which the universal church came into existence. Through what we know as the epic, Spirit-filled witness of Jesus' disciples to Jews and Gentiles alike. This, my friends, is the power of God, which redemptively is acting in the world even now. And we know it to be so through the crucified and resurrected Jesus. Pentecost Sunday then turns to a celebration of the receiving of the Holy Spirit by the early church. Of all the gifts given to mankind by God, there is none greater than the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is what John the Baptist prophesied about when Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, found in Matthew 3:11. It reads this, "I baptize you with water for repentance, But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. And it says this, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus confirms this prophecy to the disciples in John 14:26. It says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. This moment, this very moment is coming to pass in the book of Acts. The Spirit is energizing the hearts and the minds of the apostles in their ministry. So much so it's recorded in the Gospels and the remainder of the New Testament scriptures. What they failed to understand during Jesus' earthly ministry has now become a true, precise, and accurate understanding of his work. You see, Jesus has shown himself to these men after his death on the cross and his resurrection, giving convincing proof that he indeed was alive. These opening chapters in the book of Acts show how the disciples wait in Jerusalem for the Father's gift of the Holy Spirit, from whom they would receive power to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. Now, after Jesus' ascension to heaven, the men returned to Jerusalem and joined together in prayer in an upper room. On this very day of Pentecost, just as promised, the sound of a violent wind filled the house, and tongues of fire came to rest on each of them, and all were filled with the Holy Spirit. They're given the power of communication, which Peter then uses to begin the ministry for which Jesus had prepared for him. But take note this morning, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, the disciples did not stay in the room basking in God's glory, but they burst out of that room to tell the world. Friends, this was the beginning of the church as we know it. We gather today recognizing the gift of the Holy Spirit, realizing that God's very life, his very breath, his very energy lives in believers. We have to remember that up until this point, the disciples were laden with fear for Jewish leaders, and they remained behind locked doors until our risen Savior supernaturally appeared to these fear-laden disciples. And we know this, their fear gave way to joy when the Lord showed them his hands and side, and he assured them peace and repeats the command which we have heard time and time again, found in Matthew 28:19-20. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Again, hear these words. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Friends, that includes you. Something truly incredible happens in this moment. Jesus breathes on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. This celebration of Pentecost Sunday reminds us of the reality that we all have the unifying Spirit that was poured out upon the first century church. It's a reminder that we are co-heirs with Christ, to suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. That the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 12:7. It also reads that we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, as found in 1 Corinthians 12:13. And that the Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead lives inside believers, as Romans 8:9-11 infers. This gift of the Holy Spirit that was promised and given to all believers on the first Pentecost is promised for us and for our children and for all who are far off from the Lord our God, as being called in Acts 2:39. As we've been taught before, everyone has what we call a God conscience. The issue is whether or not we'll admit it. So the Spirit applies the truths of God to remind us that we are sinners. And as a result, as we respond to that conviction, people, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, can be forgiven and brought to salvation. And the hope, the comfort for us this morning is that once we are saved and belong to God, the Spirit takes up residence in our hearts forever. The Spirit seals us with the confirming, certifying, and assuring pledge of our eternal state as His children. Friends, today and every day of our lives, we thank God for this precious gift, the Holy Spirit and His work in our lives. Let's continue as brothers and sisters, keeping the faith and doing good works that Jesus might be made known. The time and hour are not known, but we are convinced. We have been assured through Scripture that the Lord Jesus will one day return in the same way in which He left. At any moment, all of history could come to its grand conclusion. The hope we find is that the Holy Spirit will prevail at every point in church history. And friends, the church will continue to reach out to its ultimate goal of proclaiming the good news of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. As we journey through the book of Acts, miracles are sprinkled throughout. We'll hear of people healing by both a touch and even the mere passing of the Apostle Peter's shadow. There'll be a young boy brought back to life by the Apostle Paul, a poisonous snake that can do no harm, prisoners released by earthquakes and angels. For the ancient Israelites, these were not uncommon. They weren't even unusual. But as the weeks unfold, we'll do our very best to understand these incidents in our modern day context. Regardless of our thoughts, the gospel will move steadily outward. The book of Acts describes to us the inevitable work of God to spread the good news of Christ to every corner of the world. So the question we must ask ourselves this morning is, how are we helping God to do this? What role are you playing to further the kingdom, to advance the good news? And my prayer this morning is that our answer is in every single way possible. Let's pray. Father, we know the task before us. We know that you have commanded us to go and make disciples. But Father, we admit, like those disciples, we're filled with fear. But Father, we know that that fear is cast out by the joy found in our salvation. So Father, we pray even now that you would fill us with the Spirit to be able to begin to speak the language of those around us, that they might understand the good news. Father, forgive us for those times that we passed up that opportunity. But Father, we're praying in your Son's most precious name, we would heed and we would take that moment to share, to love, to express how much God loves every single person on this planet. And we pray, Father, that as we leave this church building, that we would take this good news with us and share it abundantly with others in love and in grace. And it's in your Son's most precious name that we pray. Amen.